So we're here today for another edition of the Advent I Am podcast, Risk and Business. Great to have you here today, Dave and Andrew. Great. So one of the things that we've been seeing over the last few years, particularly within our client base, is an increasing shortage of skills within the cybersecurity world. Clients struggling to recruit talent, and indeed, in a lot of cases, just simply poaching staff from each other. So the same people are just going round and around and around. And it's an increasingly small pool of capability out there. And, you know, Dave, you've been working on security projects with a number of large government clients over the last couple of years. You know, how have you been seeing it?
Well, I think part of the problem as well is it's just a broad spectrum of skills that are needed for the roles. And employers quite often don't understand that, and when they look to recruit, they get it wrong. So yeah, having an understanding of right, I need a SIEM specialist, or I need somebody who's qualified in risk management, are clearly aspects which they just think, right, we need cyber, we need a specialist, and we'll just go out to the market and recruit anybody.
Yeah, because everything's just getting lobbed under this banner of cyber now, isn't it?
Exactly.
Even if you look at cyber assurance framework, cyber standards, you look at standards like NIST, for example, it's called a cyber standard, but actually a lot of what's in there is more mainstream information security, risk management, governance, risk, compliance, and then you've got pure cyber, and then you've got technical cyber, and you know, within that you've got platform cyber, you've got cloud cyber, so actually, just using the term cyber as part of a recruitment process can be quite counterproductive.
Yeah, it tends to get a bit of a buzzword in the recruitment space, so overly used, 100%.
So, and you know, I can remember doing Radio 5 some years ago now, where even then we were talking about, you know, we were moving towards this precipice of this skills shortage, skills deficit. You know, I'm going to cybersecurity events now where, you know, in my mid-50s, I'm still considered to be a fairly young guy. So we have a big shortfall of people coming up from behind us as well.
Yeah,
so where are these organisations going to get these skills from then? Where are they going to find these people to fill these gaps? Because they're not there in the permanent marketplace, you know, that much is true. Dave, you know, we were working with a large government client. And they were struggling. They actually came to us and said, we're struggling to find skills, we're struggling to find people with your capabilities, can you find them for us?
That's exactly what happened, yeah. We were working in the organisation, fulfilling a number of different roles, and they had an immediate need for a large number of additional personnel, staff, qualified people to come in and help them with two specific programmes that had come to the fore. And they weren't able to do that in-house. They weren't able to do that with their existing cybersecurity partners. And so they came to us and said, as an existing partner, is this something we could help with? And we were able to bring in a team of temporary personnel, qualified personnel, and support them in achieving the program outcomes.
Do you think part of the challenge we've got here, particularly with public sector, large-scale projects, digital transformation projects, things like that, is that the salaries that they're able, because they're confined by their grading system, right? So the salaries they're able to pay for a security architect are directly linked into that being a grade XYZ within their pay scale system.
Oh, it's definitely a factor, yeah, 100%. The salaries just don't compete with the private sector in terms of having the qualified people and experienced people that they need to fulfil these particular functions that they need. And also it's the temporary nature of it. It's a programme, it's got an end date, it's not finite. So why go to the trouble and the time and the expense of recruiting permanent staff when actually they can parachute people in for a 6-month contract, a 12-month contract, and achieve the aim, but actually then get people who are qualified, who are up to date, who understand the threat landscape, and are able to, as I said, achieve the outcomes, do the job.
Because it makes no sense, right, to go out and recruit people, give them a job, and then lay them off again in 6 or 9 or 12 months' time.
Definitely not. I think, the contingent workplace is booming, but the challenge is, accessing the correct level of talent in today's marketplace. You know, there are various different ways to go to market to source these people. There are the traditional ways, job boards, LinkedIn, etc., etc. But being a specialist, I believe, in this area, it provides a different element to be able to go and attract, number one, the elite caliber of security professionals in the marketplace. But then secondly, it's the practices and systems that you put in place to go out to market and actually find the people that generally lurk in the shadows, which is always the biggest challenge.
And so we've been doing this on an informal basis, on an ad hoc basis. We started off with one client, other clients heard about what we were doing and asked us to do it for them. So we were kind of doing that, but without really realising that it was a new service that we developed and started delivering into our clients, which is where the Advent IM outsource capability came from originally.
Yeah.
So and we're now developing that, and we've got it launched as a formal service with its own branding.
Yeah.
And obviously through that we've got the opportunities where we're providing a single person as an interim because somebody's off on maternity leave, right the way up to fulfilling a full project team.
Absolutely. I think what gives us the competitive advantage as well is sort of the back office function, if you will, in terms of how we go to market. So you could go via the traditional route of, you know, bringing on one recruitment agency to go to market and source via the traditional ways. But with the process that we've built, we have that and some more. So we will have our own preferred supplier list of vetted agencies specifically crafted and aligned to the marketplace for the types of requirements we need. But then in addition to that, we'll have our own processes and inbound attraction processes that talk the same language to the security professionals in the marketplace because we are cut from the same cloth.
One of the things I quite often see getting conflated with each other is the language between what is offshoring and what is outsourcing. And in some cases, I'm hearing people use them interchangeably with each other. And so, you know, in my experience, the difference between the two really is when people are looking at offshoring, what they're really looking at is a cost saving. It's usually people go to offshoring in order to find a third country where there is a contingent workforce that is also very cheap. When we talk about outsourcing, and particularly the sort of stuff that we're doing, this isn't about a cost saving exercise. It's about driving quality and capability to make sure the projects are successful, right?
Absolutely.
Because in my experience, offshoring is usually seen as a way of cutting costs, which isn't necessarily the same as driving up value and isn't necessarily the same as delivering quality. Whereas what we're doing with that, with our outsourcing, is we're actually delivering the same high quality, the same caliber of capability in the workforce as we would from our own core consultancy team.
Yeah, well, I think that's a key point as well, is the fact that we understand the problems they need to solve.
Right.
And I think we gain that understanding through our own consultancy services and our training service as well. Is we've seen the issues that central government, private sector organisations are facing with regards to risk, cyber threat, and we can apply that when we start looking at our outsourcing service.
And it's not one or the other either, is it? We're delivering hybrid projects where we've got our own full-time consultants working alongside that contingent workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Dave's just quite rightly said, with the security wraparound, it gives us the over and above in terms of just sourcing an additional body. So it makes us more of a strategic partner, I believe, to our clients rather than just searching for people and not necessarily having the right qualified person interview that person to then deploy them into a project.
And the nice thing, of course, is we're building relationships with those people as well.
Yeah.
So as engagements of one client ends, we're actually at times moving teams around, so we're getting consistency of team cohesiveness, so people are getting used to working together as part of a team, so the client is gaining from that benefit as well, rather than bringing together a group of strangers and expecting them to blend.
Exactly. And that's when you become, as I say, a strategic partner rather than a customer or client.
So Dave, you mentioned earlier, you know, this grew originally from one of our clients who had developed this need. What was the conversation like when they first came to you and sort of said, oh, this is the challenge we've got? What was the the presentation of the situation like?
So it was almost kind of a casual throwaway conversation initially. He said, we've had this program, we've had an audit, we've identified a number of issues, number of problems that we wish to solve, but we're really struggling to find the personnel to do it. And it is at that point I said, well, you know, certainly we could help with some of that. I said, and where we perhaps can't do that from internally within our own consultancy team, we could speak to some of our partners and see whether or not we're actually able to provide some contingent labour to fulfil the staffing requirements for that. I wouldn't say there was a reluctance, but they were certainly interested in that idea, but also what they didn't want to do is to get bogged down with some of the kind of the nitty gritty, the admin type side of stuff. So there was a request came alongside that as to whether, you know, would we be able to manage that temporary workforce to save them the trouble of doing so, which is what we did. You know, I was the lead consultant for the project at the time, and we put a team together. We reviewed the CVs for the contractors, and we brought them in. I want to say they didn't rubber stamp it, but they pretty much just said, yeah, as long as you're happy with who you've selected, Dave, then that's fine. And it went from there, basically.
Because there's trust in there, because we're known for being high-quality security consultants anyway.
Exactly.
So if we say this is somebody that's got the right skills, the right capability, and to a certain degree, the right attitude,
yes,
then there's an element of trust that goes with that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'd earned that trust over a period of time as well, so that, you know, we had a really good working relationship. So you're absolutely right, that trust was there. Managing those individuals on a day-to-day basis was hand-in-hand with what we were already doing anyway with our own consultancy team, so it was a natural fit.
And we've got 21 years of working in this industry, right? So, you know, we've got more than enough experience within the consultant. We were putting together something on a bid recently where we actually added up the number of years of experience that we've got within the consultancy team, and it rocked up at something like a couple of hundred years worth of experience. So, you know, you combine that with the ability that you've developed, Andrew, in terms of that contingent workforce, access to those people, you've got the best of both worlds, haven't you?
Absolutely. And I think what Dave's touched on, the technical evaluation of those people, in addition to the commercial evaluation from myself and our division, it just goes hand in hand and just gives the customer that reassurance and that blend that what they are receiving is an extended arm to the quality that Advent provide from the permanent workforce.
So when they're coming to us and saying, I need a cyber person, and then having a conversation that says, and this is the sort of job that we're expecting them to do, we're then taking that and saying, well, actually, the role you're really looking for here is a network architect or a risk manager or a...
Absolutely, yeah. The role qualification is key to then be able to take that to market, go to market, implement the processes that we have, and then loop in Dave and the consultancy team to then give it the technical evaluation to then present back to the customer.
Super. So to me, this sounds like something that is only going to grow, really, because we know that within our client base that there is an increasing number of cybersecurity projects. We're seeing a significant number of digital transformation programs on the go. Post-COVID, a lot of organisations have reappraised their platforms, their technologies, their software, and are looking at introducing changes, driving greater resilience. So this is something that's going to grow as a requirement, not go away, right?
Absolutely. I would certainly imagine so. There's always going to be that demand, especially on big government programmes, defence programmes, etc. And, you know, if you need security contingent resource at Advent's excellence, then...
And what are the key sectors that we're seeing the demand from at the moment?
I think there's a huge drive in the defence sector. You know, the major SIs have always had that huge demand for contingent workforce. Again, specifically across cybersecurity and security cleared programmes. Public sector in itself is very heavily driven by the contingent workforce. And equally, you know, financial services again has a huge contingent demand in that area. So I would say most areas have some level of coverage, but specifically public sector, defence, government, huge population for this need.
And this isn't UK specific either, is it? Because, you know, we've got international opportunities as well.
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of our candidate reach, it's not just bound to the UK. Funnily enough, we've recently become part of a five-year international government programme where all kinds of contingent resource are going to be required with high levels of clearance for this piece of work. So we've just implemented our practices, put the model at work, and we are now making some good progress on the programme.
Brilliant. Guys, thanks very much for today. Really enjoyable conversation. This has been the Advent IM podcast, Risk and Business. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.